Welcome to the second part of this Altus Group podcast series, where Ross Lichtenhouse, the Senior Director with Altus Group, is speaking with Paul Weinshank, President of Retail for Peterson Companies, about a wide range of commercial real estate trends and topics with regards to the D.C. metro market. With that, we'll hand it over to Ross.
So let's talk about, because you mentioned Loudoun County, and I want to ask you to reach really deep down in your toolbox, because the work that you and I've done together over the years has been real estate tax appeal related. And I want to get your take on developing, buying, leasing, investing in retail real estate amongst the various jurisdictions, and how much discussion around the impact of real estate taxes on your developments or acquisitions, and certainly the impact to your tenants as a pass-through. How much discussion and attention and what types of discussion are you guys having about that when looking at the various jurisdictions? Because, you know, downtown D.C. is got a much higher tax rate than you would see in Virginia and Maryland. And then, you know, looking here in Tysons as they continue to add additional tax rates onto the overall property tax rate and bill related to the infrastructure and transportation, that can really impact underwriting. So what kind of, you know, what kind of discussions or concerns do you guys have, and how have you typically tackled that in the war room when you're looking at the different deals?
Yeah, well, so, you know, it's, I guess, you know, two ways of thinking about it. One of our lenses as we're thinking about properties is always about the property itself. Where is it located in terms of intersections and transportation and transit, and where is it located in terms of people and growth in people and long-term trajectories population growth and associated income levels and educational levels, because all of that's going to play into how the retailers think about whether or not they want to serve that community. So you want to be able to tell a story to the retailers that says, hey, great location in terms of people being able to get to and from the center, and great story in terms of the people who are going to be looking for goods and services. So that's certainly a really critical piece of it. But the other piece is sort of, you know, the tax lens is really an interesting one, because I think what sometimes gets lost in the mix for some folks is the idea that, well, you know, real estate taxes aren't a big deal. It's just a pass-through. So from a landlord's perspective in retail, doesn't really matter. The landlords are able to fully recover their real estate taxes or nearly so. But what that misses is the notion that for the retailer, it's all about their occupancy cost and the ratio of cost to sales. And so at the end of the day, they, you know, are going to look at a location, and based on everything I talked about in terms of transportation and people and incomes, et cetera, they're going to make a judgment, and that judgment is going to be about sales and what they think that store is going to do in the way of sales. And then in their mind, they're going to have a sense for what percentage of those sales they're willing to spend to occupy the space. And, you know, that's a bucket of money. And a piece of that bucket goes to the landlord to pay for rent. And some of it's going to go to pay for CAM and other maintenance costs associated with being in that location. And then some of it's the local jurisdiction is going to want from a real estate tax perspective. So if at the end of the day, if you've got a $5 tax bill versus a $2 tax bill, that $3 swing is what's sort of available for conversation between the landlord and the tenant in terms of rent, and that's what then feeds into the property owner's decision-making process about whether or not they're going to see the sort of returns on that site that will justify making the initial investment in buying the land and then the additional investment of building the shopping center and operating it. So taxes do play a role in how both the retail community and the developer community think about new investment.
So that's interesting. And you had mentioned earlier Publix, which I love Publix. I grew up in the South, and my parents still love to shop there. I mean, it's just a great anchor tenant.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Moving up in this direction. I mean, just a really great group. I'm curious, you know, with a retailer that obviously has a great balance sheet, a great record of success, moving into a new market, looking to anchor a particular center, is someone like a Publix, you know, small retailers are one thing where you know, a bad tax bill can really make or break a quarter, but with a retailer of that size, an anchor tenant, what types of discussions are you having with them with their kind of lack of familiarity with this particular area of the country as it relates to real estate taxes? I mean, is it a pretty deep dive discussion, or do they look at it as just kind of cost of doing business?
Well, I think, you know, from their perspective, they're a pretty methodical group, and a lot of these larger, more sophisticated retailers are. And so they tend to do a pretty good job of coming into a market and understanding what the lay of the land is in terms of taxes, and then deciding, okay, you know what, it's in a range here that makes some sense, and it becomes for a lot of these guys not a huge factor because they realize that they can make it work. But there are, you know, folks, the retailers, they do all sorts of research and work hard to understand how things work. And I've seen some retailers who have taken an initial run at the marketplace and have seen sort of local sort of regulatory regimes and limitations factor into their decision, because sometimes it drives cost or it drives their operational flexibility, and have seen them say, you know what, we're not ready to come into the market yet. Let us come back when we've solidified some things in some of the other jurisdictions that are easier to work in, and let us begin to build a store base there. And then as we build our store base, we can begin to tackle some of the more challenging jurisdictions. And when we do come into those more challenging jurisdictions, let's try to come in with a larger unit count so that we can kind of gain some efficiencies very quickly, as opposed to having one or two stores and having to kind of nurse those along while you build your critical mass.
Yeah, I will tell you, I mean, just over the time period that you and I have worked together, the amount of time that we spend here budgeting and working on tax projections related to due diligence and development across the country, has probably grown tenfold at least. I mean, we spend an important amount of time because it is the single largest line item expense on the operating statement. And if you make the wrong decision and walk into a landmine on a deal, you are in big trouble. And I know that it's become increasingly important. It's always been important on the multifamily side because that goes back, you know, to the owners and the bottom line. But now, even on the retailer side, and certainly office, but on the retail side, because of how it can impact tenants. And we've also found, and I would be curious to get your thoughts on this, we've also found that brokers in some of these more nuanced submarkets that have, you know, very comparable product that they're leasing, compared to somebody that's, say, across the street or down the way, I mean, it is truly a leasing tool for them, a marketing tool.
Oh, yeah.
To keep
without
that cost under, cost under control. And so, you know, we appeal a lot of taxes, and it's become increasingly important to the brokerage community to go out and tout that, you know, I've got $5 a square foot here versus the guy across the street that's paying $6, so, you know, you're going to be better off. You know, not only from a leasing standpoint, but from, you know, going into a new market, just the amount of attention given that burden and impact has been huge. So
I totally see that, and, you know, it makes a lot of sense, and it goes back to, you know, the idea of this bucket. And If a developer can afford to take a a $25 rent, and somebody else needs to get to a higher rent, and you got real estate taxes in the mix, you know, you're going to be advantaged every time as a developer with all else equal with a lower real estate tax burden. And look, I mean, I think there's a great example in our portfolio of the power of lower real estate taxes. If you look at our downtown Silver Spring project, which was a joint venture with our friends at Folger Pratt and Argo Investments, and that was an enterprise tax zone. And so what that meant was that for a long period of time, the real estate taxes were significantly lower than if we hadn't been in the enterprise zone. And so that was something that translated directly into occupancy costs. It's what helped launch the project, being able to quote a lower occupancy cost, and it's what attracted retailers. And, you know, you fast forward now some 15-plus years, and you look at what downtown Silver Spring is today versus what it was, and you see the power right there of how lower real estate taxes can have an impact.
No, I would absolutely agree, and that's become quite a lever that jurisdictions have used to revitalize some areas, and I know it can be a very powerful tool. It's funny, I look back over my career of doing real estate tax work, which I could have told you 15 years ago I never thought I would have been in real estate tax work, but fast forward 15 years and still doing it.
Right.
That project, that Silver Spring project and the tax credit deal, one of the first portfolios that I ever worked on, and you guys, you know, did a phenomenal job, and it absolutely transformed Silver Spring, and we're seeing a lot of other jurisdictions really try to use that as a lever to redevelop, because it is such an attractive mechanism for development in certain areas. I mean, even if it's not enterprise zone related, you know, it goes by different names, revitalization, rehabilitation, you know, in some cases, you know, on the multifamily side, high performance, whatever you call it. And, you know, in downturns, we've found when a recession hits and jurisdictions are strapped with cash, but they still need to generate revenue, you know, they can entice developers to come in and redevelop certain pieces of cities and counties that otherwise wouldn't be touched, and at least get development in there to generate some of that revenue. So I guess I'll end with one question, because we're running up against our time here, and I know you've got a very busy schedule. Are there other areas where you're seeing those types of tax credit programs that you guys have become interested in, or is it when the opportunity presents itself, you may take advantage of that, but we're not actively looking necessarily as a particular and specific tool to facilitate a development?
Yeah, I would really characterize it as sort of opportunity specific. If there's a location that makes sense and that happens to be part of what allows the location to make sense, then great. But in terms of sort of our overall strategy for how we decide where we're going to make investments and bring projects online, that's not one of the sort of must-have criteria. It absolutely makes all the difference in some cases, as it did in Silver Spring. I'm pretty confident that absent that and a couple of other things, we would not have wanted to get engaged in Silver Spring. But the enterprise zone designation absolutely played a significant role for us in our downtown Silver Spring location.
Well, that's great. That certainly is a case study. Well, Paul, I'll wrap it up here and thank you for your time. It's always great talking with you. You've got fantastic insights and certainly a long storied career in retail real estate. So I appreciate you joining us, and hopefully that we can, after the new year at some point, as the year and the market progresses, maybe we can hop on and talk about some new up-and-coming trends and some of the developments that you guys are working on. So thank you again. Matt, I'll turn it over to you.
Perfect. What a great way to end this podcast interview, where Ross Litkinghaus, the senior director with Altus Group, spoke with Paul Weinschick, president of retail for Peterson Companies, about a wide range of commercial real estate trends and topics with regards to the D.C. metro market. And Ross and Paul, thanks for your time today.
No, my pleasure.